clap, throw money. Good morning. How are you today? Blessed. Let's try this again. How are you today? Now, why are you blessed? Who woke you up this morning? Okay. Who kept you all week? Okay. Those are God's blessings. Some of you, you got a paycheck on Friday. Who gave you the paycheck? Don't you ever think the guy working for you gave you the paycheck. Your paycheck came from God. He keeps you working. He keeps the heat in your house. Well, the past 3 or 4 days, we didn't need any heat in our house. But you need to come to understand that every time your heart beats, it's a blessing from God. Everything that you have is a blessing from God. You know, some things will be good, some things will be bad, but God is always perfecting you for his service. He's perfecting you even when there are bad things going on in your life, because he wants you to learn from even the bad things. One of the things he wants you to learn is to trust him when you got hard times. Because if you have hard times and you don't learn anything from it, you're going to have hard times again. Amen? So I just want you to understand that point. Now, a couple of things before I get into the sermon. First of all, we have some folk that may be with us today for the first time, or you come with a heavy heart. It is God's purpose that you be here this morning. If you're here, it is God's purpose that you're here this morning. He wants to be able to speak to you. It may come from my sermon. He may speak to you outside of my sermon. But it is his purpose that you're here this morning. Those of you that are looking for peace, God says he will give you his peace. All you need to do is ask him for it. So I just want you to understand that God is here and you are here, that God may speak to you and meet your needs this morning. Now, what I'd like for you to do is, if you have a small piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, would you take it out? I believe, especially during this time of the year, I have seen a great number of people come to know the Lord. And this is what I want you to do something and start praying about it today, and hopefully you will pray about it going into the new year. I want you to think of 3 people that you know that are not saved. I only want you to write down their first name. Just write their first name down to those 3 people you know that are not saved. They could be in your family, it can be on your job, it can be a friend. And what you're going to do with that piece of paper, they become your 3 most wanted. They become your 3 most wanted. And over the next 3 months, you're going to pray daily for those people that they will come to the Lord. So they become your 3 most wanted that you want to see that God would move in their lives and they would make a commitment to him before the end of this year. One of the things that, as a counselor, that we understand is that the closer we get to Thanksgiving, and from Thanksgiving through Christmas, more people are depressed, more people think about committing suicide than any other time during the year. What hopefully will happen is that with your prayers, you will, if they don't accept the Lord, you will breathe hope into their lives so that they know that there is someone that loves them and is praying for them. So I just ask that you would do that, you know, whether you're in middle school, whether you're in high school, you know, whether you're out of school, that you may know 3 people and that you cross in life, that you have friendship with, that are not saved, and that you will reach out to those people for your prayer life, and hopefully they will come to know the Lord before we go into a new year. Is that okay with you? Okay. Now, let's do something else, okay? When I grew up, my mother used to have what she called a prayer closet. Now, her prayer closet basically was a kitchen chair in the kitchen. And when she sat in that chair with her head bowed, you didn't bother her because that meant she was praying for someone, praying for me and because I come from a family of 10 kids, and she would pray for us every day. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to consider where you're seated, your prayer closet. For just a moment now, it's not going to be long, that you're in your prayer closet now, okay? Now, what is it that you need to ask God to do in your life? You're in your prayer closet, nobody around you, just you. What is it that you need God to do in your life right now? What is your heart desire that you need to see God move? Is it in school with your grades? Is it in your home? Is it on your job? What is that one thing, and I only want you to look at one thing, that you really need God to do? This is individual now. This is not group. This is individual. You're in your prayer closet. What is that one thing that you really need God to do? What is it that you need from God? Is it healing? Is it healing? Not, it doesn't have to be your healing. It could be a family member. It could be a member of the church. But what is it that you need God to do this morning for you? Do you have a concern? Is it an emotional concern? You know, is it a family concern? Is it a financial concern? What blessing do you need from God this morning? With your head bowed, just for a brief moment, I want you to take that one thing that you need from God today. I want you to pray about it. I just want you to talk to him about it. The one thing. I don't want you to give him five things. I don't want you to give him two things. The one thing that is predominant in your mind that you need God to move on at his pace, I want you to pray about it. Doesn't have to be you. It could be somebody you know that is sick. It could be somebody you know that is going through emotional things, that you just pray for that one thing very quickly. Amen. Now, we're going to leave it to God. You've asked him for it. We're going to leave it to him for it to happen. Secondly, we're going to continue to pray that one, two, three people that we're praying for will come to know the Lord before the end of the year. Okay? We're just going to pray that. Can I get a yep? Somebody say yes? Okay. Now, if you would open your Bibles to the book of Psalms and to the 16th chapter, Psalm 16. Now, I'm a person, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel as it is taught by a lot of your televangelists, but I do believe that God wants us to live a life that shows his prosperity, okay? I believe that he is looking for us to live a life that maximizes the relationship and the life that we have in him. Okay. And what I mean when I talk about maximizing is I mean that God wants to bless us richly as people, as his people. And what he wants to do is he wants us to walk in his word, which gives him the emphasis, or he gives him what he needs in order to move in our lives. You know, we need to look at how we live in our emotions, how we live on our jobs, how we live in our homes, and to define whether we are living as God would have us to live. You know, sometime, let me give you a good example. Some years ago, I had an opportunity to join a club. But everybody in this club was living a non-Christian existence. They were just doing everything. And because of that, I did not join the club because they weren't Christians, they weren't living like Christians, but they were, you know, they were making money and so forth, but they were not living unto the Lord. Now, let's turn that around and say that everyone in this room is saved, but how does your life show that God is in the center of your life, that you are living unto the Lord, that God is blessing you, and that you are living in a manner that is different from the world? Now, sometimes we think because if we are poor that we're living to the Lord. Sometimes we think that if we don't have much, then we have to be living to the Lord. But that is not God's plan for us. God's plan for us is for us to enjoy that which he has placed on this earth for us to enjoy. Now, in order to do that, we have to come to understand God's word, understand the promises that he's made to us, and that we then hold him accountable for the promises that he has made to us, that he will do what he said he will do because he is God. And sometimes because we don't know what he has promised he will do in our lives, we live a mediocre life as Christians because we are not coming to God saying, this is what you promised you would do in my life if I did this. If I surrender myself to you, if I submit my will to you, you have promised that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me in my giving and in my life totally. You tell me that whatever I sow, I will reap. And I am sowing, harvesting, and I'm living a Christian life. And now I want to see some of the reaping of that. And what God says to us is that we need to come to understand that the way he moves in our lives is not conventional, but he moves in our lives according to his word and according to what he wants to do. Let me give you an example. If you go back and you look in the Bible, it talked about Peter and where Peter was fishing, and Peter came in and he had not caught any fish. And what happened was Jesus met him and told him to go back out, and he told him just a very small thing. He said, you have been casting your net on the left side of the boat, and you haven't caught anything. Now, what I want you to do is cast your net on the right side of the boat, and he cast it, and he brought in a harvest. Now, what I'm saying to you through that process is that God gives us specific plans for how he's going to maximize our lives and how he is going to move in our lives and how we can accomplish those things that he would have us to accomplish. Again, in Peter's life, Peter was on the boat with the other disciples, and Jesus came walking to him on water. And as he walked to him on water, at first they thought he was a ghost, but when they recognized that it was Jesus, Peter said, bid me to come out. And a lot of times with us, you know, when we first take something to God or when we first ask God about something, you know, we are all open and we're all full-hearted about that. But then when Peter stepped out into the water, and he, you know, then the brain kicked in. Faith kicked out, the brain kicked in. And then he said, man is not made to walk on water. And when he realized that what he was asking God to do in his own mind did not make sense, then he started to sink. But then his faith kicked back in to the point that he reached out and called upon the Lord, and the Lord put out his hand and lifted him back up in the water, above the water. Now, what am I saying to you in your day-to-day existence? God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you to live at a maximum level in this society, but it requires that you walk as he would have you to walk, for you to do those things that he would have you to do in your life. Sometimes we look at things and we decide, well, God wants me to do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way because I can see the results in my process. I can't see the results as God's going to bring about the change. Sometimes you need to understand that what you're asking God for, he's not going to give it to you the day you asked him for. It could be a month, it could be 3 months, it could be a year later before he blesses you the way he wants to bless you, not the way you want the blessing to come. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then sometimes the blessing that you're looking for is not the blessing he gives you. Because he knows what you need, not what you want. Sometimes what we want is not good for us. You remember back when you used to get a cold and your mom would bring out the castor oil? And you say, no, that's not a blessing. But once you took that castor oil and had a chance to work, then you came to understand that it was a blessing, although it tasted bad. And sometimes the blessing that God brings us doesn't always come the way we want it to come, and it always doesn't taste or function the way we want it to function. So God knows what we need, and what he wants to do is he wants to maximize what he wants to do in our lives as we submit our lives to him. Let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, they had the Powerball drawing. Powerball drawing was for $400 million. It's interesting how we are studied as a group of people. What they said is that 70% of the tickets sold for the Powerball drawing were sold to Christians. Yet the word says that God will supply all your needs. That makes sense to you? Okay? You know, that's just a Powerball drawing. What we also understand is that we as a people that are living for the Lord, sometimes we get depressed. And we get depressed about things that we should not get to be depressed about, because God has already told us that he's going to meet all of our needs. Along with meeting all of our needs, he says, just trust me. If your trust is in God, then, you know, certainly there's certain people that have a chemical imbalance, the reason that they're depressed. But a lot of times we're depressed because we won't trust God. Or we don't trust God. We do not give him the control of our lives. We don't give him the control of our minds. We do not walk by faith as he would have us to walk. You know, then sometimes we get caught up in anxiety. We get caught up in worry. And God says that we're supposed to be as happy as a bird. You go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Scripture says that God watches out for the birds. That's why they can sing. They don't worry. They don't have anxiety. That's why they can sing. We're the only folk that get caught up in things that we can't sing the praises of God, because we're caught up in anxiety and we're caught up in worry. Right now, some of y'all may be sitting here worrying about, will the Eagles win today? You know what's going to happen there? And God is saying that he steps in and he gives us peace, because he takes control of our thought life. And our thought life sometimes get caught up in the point that we are worrying about things that God has not called us to worry about. You know, what it says is that what you believe determines your behavior. What you believe determines your behavior. And what we've come to understand is, because we understand that, is a lot of times we are caught up in things that change our behavior. We get caught up in doubt. We get caught up in fear. We get caught up in disappointment. We get caught up in things that God does not want us to be caught up in, but because we are not looking at God and our relationship with God in the right manner. We are still walking. We're still getting caught up in the things of the world, even how we think. We have not given our minds over to God that he may change the way we are to think. When we look in Romans, this 12th chapter, it says that we have to be renewed in our mind. It says we were conformed to the world, and we need to become renewed in our mind. In essence, we have to start to think the way God would have us to think and stop thinking the way of the world. And what we do is that we come to church a lot of times and we hear the word, but we do not apply the word to our lives so that we can be transformed, that we can be changed, and to become the people that God would have us to be. Now, when we look at this whole maximization process, we're talking about the fact that we allow God to work in our lives to make us to be the people that he would have us to be. You know, what we do is we become new creations in Christ, but in our new creation process, there is still some things that we have to be involved in, and that is, one is that we keep God's promises. Now, in order to keep God's promises means that we have to spend time in his word coming to understand what he would have us to do and how he would have us to do it. So we need to make sure that we're spending the kind of time in the word that we understand God's promises. You know, along with that, we need to bring to the point that we are applying the word on a day-to-day basis in our lives so that we know that we are living out God's commandments. A lot of us, we understand the word, but there is no application in our lives on a day-to-day basis. What we find ourselves doing is having the word over here and our lives moving over here. And what happens is when your life is here and the word is over here, then you will not grow in your relationship with the Lord. God will never be able to move in your life to change you, to maximize your life in this world and in your life as it is today. So what are we to do if we're going to move forward in that manner? First, we need to understand that sometime we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have failures in life. But as we make mistakes and have failures in life, it's only to teach us. God is always teaching us. His Holy Spirit is always teaching us. His Holy Spirit is always revealing himself to us so that we understand what he would have us to do. So we need to understand that when we have failures in our lives, when we make mistakes in our lives, what is God trying to teach us? What is he trying to teach us about us? What is he trying to teach us about him that we need, that we have these breakdowns or we have these failures? Because a failure is only one step from having success in life. So you need to understand that if you have a failure, God is trying to show you something about him. He's trying to show you something about yourself so that you can make those corrections that need to be made at that point in time. Now, after you are working through this process of trusting him, then you need to also understand that he is always looking to your faith, that you will trust him no matter what. When you're having mistakes, when you're having failures in your life, that you will still reach out and that you will trust him. Now, if you are going to maximize your life, and especially when we go over and turning your Bibles to Psalms, the 16th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 1, there are 3 points I want to bring clear to you out of that so that you can move forward with that. Psalms 16, verse 11. I'm reading from the NIV, and it says this in the NIV. You will make known to me the path of life. Your presence is fulfilling of joy. Your presence is fullness of joy, excuse me. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Now, if you take that verse and you start to look at it, what it does is it gives you 3 points that you need to be able to understand in this verse. One is guide. Two is traveler. Three is path. Now, I'm going to basically talk to you about each one of these points very quickly and have you to understand what God is saying to you from this. When we talk about guide, we're talking about that we have all sufficiency in Christ. Christ is our sufficiency. He is the one that has gone to the cross for us. He is the one that has brought us back into relationship with him. Because he says to us in Romans, the 5th chapter in the 8th verse, that at one point in time, we all were sinners. But while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we can back that up and we can turn over and look into John, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, and said that God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he sent his only begotten son to die for you on the cross. So we need to understand that our guide then becomes what Christ has done on the cross for us and giving us direction for our lives so that as we move forward, we understand where he stands. Now, as you turn over in your Bibles to Romans, the 6th chapter, looking at verse number 1 and verse number 2, it says, shall we continue in sin? In essence, what God is saying to us is that because of Jesus Christ, you are no longer bound to sin. So what do we retain? Do we continue in sin, or do we move away from sin? And what he comes back and he says to us is that, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then basically what he comes back and he says to us is no. We do not continue in sin because we know we have grace available to us, but we drop sin, we move away from sin, we take sin out of our lives because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. So because of what he has done on the cross for us, we can now look at our lives from a new perspective. Now, let me give you this, because this was something that I just felt just came across in my mind. Turn over into Psalms 103. And we're going to look at verses 103, starting at verse 4. It says, who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with strong things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? What Psalms that David is writing here is he's saying that this is also to give you guide to who is moving and acting in your life. He goes on to say, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgment for all who are oppressed. And what you need to do is just to read that so that you can come to understand all that God is doing in your life in this area of giving guidance to your life. He stands in the gap for you as the adversary is trying to bring you down. God is standing there because of his promise to you. He's standing there and he's giving direction to your life. He's keeping the adversary away from you. He's giving you the protection you need so that you can maximize your life in him. He wants you to be that example in this world of living a life that is pleasing to him. Turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Excuse me, let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians, the first chapter, which is important. Ephesians 1, and let's look at verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. In essence, God gives us guidance for our lives every day. The one thing that we can say, because of what God is doing in guiding us because of the cross, we can say, it is our time. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's my time. God has given you this time for your life to come into maximize in your relationship with him. So what he's saying, it is your time. You know, just like the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt because it was their time. God said, this is your time for you to be maximized in your relationship with him. Now, what you got to be saying to yourself is, what does he mean in this process of being maximized? So let me jump up a point and come back. When we talk about being maximized in the Lord, it's talking about changing our life. Changing our lives. Now, let's deal with what we're talking about in this area so that you can come back to understand where I'm going with this maximize. There are some things that you have to do in your life. One of the things, you have to bring your life into spiritual order. What do I mean by bringing your life into spiritual order? You have to bring your life into the point where you are walking in God's word. Secondly, along with walking in God's word, you have to also make sure that you are managing your life. In essence, that you're not living helter-skelter, but that you are managing every day of your life, that in everything that you do, you're looking to God for direction so that God will be glorified in every step that you make. Like when you go to school in the morning, before you go in the building, that you spend some time in prayer, that you know that as you walk into that building, you want to do in your body everything that is pleasing to the Lord. You are not going to get caught up in your peer groups. You're not going to get caught up doing things that you know God would not be happy in, but that you have made your commitment and you've been filled with prayer because you've been praying about it, you've been walking in it, that you're going to live today in God and you're going to do those things that would become pleasing to him. Along with managing your life, you need to also make sure that you are in control of everything that you do, that you are not caught up in circumstances that you have lost control of, but that you are walking in control of your life. That is what God is calling you to do. Along with walking in control of your life, you need to understand that he's asking you also to that through this process is to reduce stress and anxiety. Now, when God is saying to us that we need to reduce stress and anxiety, he's saying that we need to start to look at those things that we do on a day-to-day basis from his perspective. Okay, not from our perspective, but from his perspective. You know, things that happen on you, let me give you a couple of examples. You're riding down the street and somebody cut in front of you. Is that stress? What comes out of your mouth? What thoughts do you have going through your head? If your rent is due and you don't have the money and you pray to God about it, and you're walking in his word, if you're living your life according to his will, then you can rest in the fact that he's going to do something. If you're in school and you're studying and you're doing what God requires you to do as far as study, as far as spending the time and studying your subjects, and it's time for a test, you can rest in the fact that whatever you have taken in, God is going to help you to prepare to give it back. God is saying that we, in this world, especially the Western culture, we are full with stress. We are full with anxiety. God has never set his system up that we would have all of the stress, all of the anxiety, all of the worry, all of the things that we deal with in this society. What we're doing is we're allowing society to dictate to us instead of we dictating what God would have us to do in our lives. So what God is asking us to do is to trust him, and when you trust him, that reduces your stress. Are you walking with me? Because if you have stress and anxiety, that means that you're caught up with a whole lot of things in your head that really probably doesn't make sense to you because you're not trusting God. You know, sometimes when God says something, we say, it sounds good, but I can't go along with it. And what God is saying is that if he said it, you need to go along with it because he has a plan and a purpose for what he has told you. God doesn't say anything just to hear himself talk. When he tells you something, he has a plan, he has a purpose in your life for it, and he wants you to just trust him and walk in that plan and purpose. When we decide we're going to do it our way, that's when we start to have major problems in our lives. Along with this stress, he says that we need to make sure that we are changing. That this whole process of you walking with God is a changing process. Some of the things you did last year, God has spoke to you that you don't do it this year. Some things that you did last week, God has spoken to you that you need to change those things. You need to always be looking at your life and balancing it based upon scripture to make sure that you are walking as God would have you to walk, that you can see yourself in the mirror of God's word, and that he is the person that is leading you in every step that you walk down. Now, what happens is, what we say is that the stress of life and situations that I am in has caused me to move away from the track. Sometimes the reason we move away from track is because we don't know what's in God's word. We don't spend time in God's word. A lot of us will, you know, have these pretty looking Bibles with the leather and so forth, and what we do is we put it under our arm and we walk to church with it, you know, so everybody see our nice looking Bible, and then we walk home with that nice looking Bible and we put it on the table, and you know, we don't open that Bible or pick that Bible back up until the next Sunday that we're going back to church. And what God is saying is that if we don't spend time in His Word, we will not have the self-control, we will not have the lives that are pleasing to Him, and then on top of that, we will never know what He is blessing us with. We will never know the promises that He has made to us because we have not opened the Word of God. One of the problems that we have in the modern day Christian church is that we are selling these like hotcakes, but nobody's reading them, okay? We buy Bibles and we put them on the back of the pews. We tell people if you don't have a Bible, you take it home if you want it. And they take it home and they put it on the table. And the next Sunday, they don't even remember where they left it because they have not opened it and read it. And, you know, the bottom line is this is your GPS system right here. Everything that you need, give me an example. Last week, my wife and I'm not a GPS fan, okay? And last week, my wife and I, she had to do a all-day workshop at an OPC church in New Jersey. And the town is so small, it wasn't even on the map. So for 2 days, I'm figuring out how am I gonna get to this place, and the town is not even on the Jersey map. And so I get in, you know, and so I first go to MapQuest, you know, and MapQuest comes back with this real strange route. And my wife was telling me where she thought it was. And so I said, well, where they're taking me is totally away from where you said it is. So we get in the car, and I said, well, I paid for it, it's in the car, I never used it, let me try it this time. And I put in the name of the town, and it took me a way that I never thought I should go. But it got me there, and it got me there quicker than the other two routes that I found. Because the GPS system is up there, looking down here, giving me direction. And God is up there looking down here trying to give you direction for your life through His Word, but you won't open His Word, so you don't know His promises. He can't give you direction until you open this so that He can inspire you, speak to you, give you that maximum life that you are looking for through His Word until you open His Bible. One of the things that you'll find, and probably this church is no different, is that anywhere from 25% to 75% of young people sitting in this auditorium right now don't have a Bible. Yet they are at the most important part of their life on getting directions from the Lord so that they don't make the mistakes that their parents made, they don't make the mistakes that other people have made as they move through life, that they come to understand their relationship in the Lord because they're spending time in His Word at an early age so that they don't get caught up in a lot of things in this society because they came to church, they never opened the Bible, they never got the Word of God in them because they felt it wasn't necessary. Just being in the sanctuary is all that they felt was necessary. So we need to have this change process moving in us, and along with that change process, there also has to be growth. The growth is that you're taking God's Word and you're applying it to your life on a daily basis. There should be that you are reading God's Word and that every time God says, do this, that you put in your plan to do it. Not that you just put in your plan that it sounds good, but that you put in your plan to start to do that which God has asked you to do. That you also find yourself resting in God. You know, life in this country is so hectic. Like right now, the government is shut down. And basically, everybody is running around saying, when is it going to start again? Sometime those things that you see happen in this life, God has already planned. It's part of His plan. And the only thing that we can do is rest in God, knowing that He knows what's best. Are you with me? Sometimes there's things going on in your life and you're walking around, you know, to the point where you got a headache, to the point where you know, your eyes are by playing tricks on you because you're going through a whole lot of things. And sometimes you just need to rest in God. You need to just say, God, it's yours. I give it to you. You handle it. I'm going to sleep. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, God, it's yours. I'm going upstairs and I'm going to bed. I'm leaving it with you, because if you can't get it straight, nobody can get it straight. Sometimes, you know, we need to allow God to be God instead of us trying to do part of his job for him. So we need to be able to rest in him, you know, because that is part of this whole process. And then there's this thing which I call the rhythm of life. The rhythm of life is knowing that God is here and your soul is here and they're in rhythm. You with me? Let me give you an example. This is before your time, so let me give you a different example. Have you ever watched those programs on television, dance programs? Or watch a program on television where people are dancing, and you see some people that are dancing, and you don't think that they dance. They don't have any clue to what the rhythm is. No, I think one of the dances that came out, you know, when I was a teenager, that gave people a chance to dance that didn't have rhythm was the twist, because all you had to do is move from side to side. But the bottom line is that there are dances where you have to have an understanding of the rhythm if you're going to do it. And the bottom line is, God, I believe that God says that if our soul is in rhythm with him, then we're walking with him, and that we're going to be maximizing our relationship with him. So that means that some of you that don't have rhythm, you need to learn to have rhythm so that you can be in line with God in how you do things. You know, those of us that have rhythm, you know, we just need to make sure that we're walking in fellowship with God and our soul is walking with God. Now, one of the things that we need to also do with is in our family life. There are things in our family life that we just need to fix. There's things in our family life that we know God is not pleased with. And I'm not talking about your broad family. I'm talking about your home. There are things in your home that you know God is not pleased with. And what you need to do is you need to make a point today to reposition what's going on in your home. You know, in some of our homes, the music that is played in our homes, we know God is not pleased with. Some of us, we know what we watch on television and on cable, God is not pleased with. You know, my wife and I, we agreed a couple of weeks ago that we're going to drop cable television because of what's on cable television now. And what we need to do is you have the threshold. That threshold is that little hump at the door that you step across when you come into the house. What we need to do is go back and say, we're going to examine everything that comes across our threshold into our house. We're going to examine what our children listen to, what they watch. We're going to examine, you know, everything that comes into our house on the Word of God. Is this something that God would be pleased with to have in our house? Now I'm telling you right now, culture will say, ain't nothing wrong with rap music as long as it's in content. But bottom line is, I've heard very little rap music except Christian rap music that was pleasing to God. And we have to start, if we want to maximize our lives, because you have to understand that those of you that are parents, what you allow in your house doesn't affect just your children, it affects the next generation also. So what we need to understand is that God is saying, if you want to maximize your life, you need to make sure that you are guiding your home for what's in your home and for what's not supposed to be in your home. Along with that, you need to also understand that God is holding you to a higher level because you're Christian on what comes into your house and what should not be coming into your house. You need to go back and look at what you allow to come into your house, even books, magazines. You need to be on top of those things because God holds you responsible for that and for what goes into your children's mind. Now, let me give you one thing that is very important, is that one of the things that we do as a culture of people, and specifically as Christians, is that we raise our children in the church until they turn 18. And then we let them go out into the world, and then when they made a mess of their lives and they come back to the church in their 40s, then we say, this is how you should have lived. And what God is saying is that we have to start when the child is conceived and we know that we're carrying a baby, we have to start at that point, and we have to start nurturing that child in the Lord from the time of conception all the way through until he reaches 18, because God says what we pour into him in those 18 years, God will not let fall void, and that what we put into that child will keep that child in his relationship with the Lord. So what we need to do is we need to come up with a new paradigm and start at the time of conception with our children instead of waiting until they're grown and saying, well, you know, you made a mess of your life. You need to come to church and now get yourself straight. So we need to make sure that we're doing those things that God would be pleased with in our home life. Now, I've got two more points, and then we're going to try to stop this here. And the two points are very important points. What you say out of your mouth means a lot. When you say something out of your mouth, you hear it, the person you're speaking to hears it, and God hears it. What you say, you hear it, the person you're speaking to hear it, and God hears it. Last week, I was at an elementary school. And you would have thought that I was with a bunch of sailors. The level of profanity that was used by these kids, nobody had on a covering on their head that I could say they were all Muslims. And what I'm saying to us is that we have to now go back and also look at what we say and how we say it. Because God hears every word that comes out of our mouth. He knows, he hears it, he makes judgment on where we are in him based upon what we say out of our mouths. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that we understand that God is our guide through Jesus Christ, that we are travelers in this world, we are sojourners, we are pilgrims in this world, and that we are only walking through this world heading towards heaven. And in this walk that we have, God is calling us to maximize our lives, to maximize his blessings, his gifts, and his promises to us as we're here. Now, to do that, we have to bring about change in our lives. That change starts with us reorientating our mind, because our mind has been set to the world, and then changing those things in our lives that will help us to walk as he would have us to walk. That is what God is calling us to in maximizing our lives with him. This is basically the foundation that we work from as we move into the other areas, so that as we are developing ourselves, God has the tools, God has the person that he can use to bring glory to his name. When you were saved, God gave you everything that you needed in order for him to bring about this change in your life. He gave you everything you needed in order for you to maximize your relationship with him. You are just like you got on a carpenter's belt, and everything on that carpenter's belt that you have on there is there for you to achieve what he has purposed you for in this world. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb in Jeremiah 1:5, and in Jeremiah 29, 11, he says, I have a plan for your life, and that plan is for you to grow in me. That plan is for you to be blessed in me. But what it requires is that you submit your life to me. It requires that you come in line with my word, that you allow me to maximize myself through you so that I am glorified. And that's what this whole life of maximization is about. You doing what God would have you to do so that when people in this world see you, they can say that this person has been maximized and God is being blessed and glorified in his life. Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for our time in your word. We thank you, Lord, for you showing us how we can maximize you in our lives, that you are our GPS system, and as we allow you to give us direction and guidance, and as you allow, and as we change those things in our lives that you are not pleased with, that you are going to show your blessings, you're going to show your favor, you're going to do those things in our lives that we can never comprehend all that you will do. Lord, we just want to walk according to your word. We know that your Holy Spirit, that your son, the death of your son upon the cross will give us the guidance that we need. We know, Lord, that this is not our home and we're just passing through it. But as we allow you to give direction to our lives, you will make this sojourner, you will make this trip an enjoyable one, although we know that there may be suffering, there may be other issues that we will go through in this life, but you will bring joy into a time of sorrow. You will bring joy into situations that really we should not have no joy in because of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we walk this path, Lord, we know that you will open up your blessings to us, Lord, that what we sow we will reap, and Lord, that you will help us to change our lives, Lord, that we will be more acceptable to you. Lord, we ask in your son's name and for his sake that you would just work with us that we may become the children that is pleasing to you, that will bring glory to your name, and that our maximized life will just shine in this world and bring others unto you because of how we're living. This we ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen.